Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independent in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ann Hirsch. And we just finished a wonderful conversation, which we extended, actually, with Anna Kaplan, who was the councilwoman for the fourth district. And it just shows, after her conversation, how the town of North Hempstead truly works together. We had Angelo Ferrara, about a month ago. And, you know, he was the one who gave me some of the information I asked Anna. I mean, the fact that he's a Republican, she's a Democrat, it makes no difference. They do what's the best for the residents of the town.
And we've also had Tony Dorso on.
But Tony's Assembly.
Oh, he's Assembly.
So that's with the state. So, in fact, we're talking the town. But Tony's, you know, Tony used to be a council person. Tony was a council person maybe 10 or 15 years ago, he left, something like that. He was one of the, when they had started council people, Tony was one of the original. And so was Angelo, actually. And then Tony retired, and then Tony came back 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, when he ran for the assembly. So that's Tony's story. But again, the same thing, it's the human interest. What these people give up, whether it's Angelo or Tony or Anna, and we've had Judy Bosworth on, we've had many of them on.
Well, you've had Tom DiNapoli on numerous occasions, and Tom Suozzi.
Tom Suozzi was on recently, absolutely. And you get their story. It's they're just dedicated to the people. You know, they sacrifice a lot. Like I told you that tip of the iceberg story for the housing units. It's also the tip, you know, they see them, they think, oh, they're getting paid, what are they doing? The amount of hours, they have no private time. You know, Anna will be out. It's Friday. She'll be at lunch someplace. She'll be at a dinner this evening. Because who's calling her? Please make a presentation. Would you come to my event? And it's very hard. You know, if I'm doing something with my organization and Anne has another organization and so does Christina, who does she say no to? She can't. She'll be at mine at 7, yours at 8, and Christina's at 9. And so will all the electeds. I'm not talking, you know, Angelo does the same thing. I see Angelo at everything. He has to go. You know, they have a right not to, but these people are so invested, they want to.
And they're not highly compensated for their work.
No, no.
So it is somewhat on
the... I thought you were going to say highly educated.
No. But there's a lot of altruism in it.
100%. There's no question about it. I don't think any elected official does it for the money. Seriously, because what you give up, you know, and then especially today, the restrictions and the scrutiny. You can't get business. When you're an elected official, it's so difficult. If you're an attorney, and like Anna, she can't do anything because is she getting the business because she's an elected official or she's the best person for it? You'll never be able to answer that question.
John,
so
stay
away from it.
You would know, are all the mayors compensated for their work or some of the mayors are volunteering?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you would.
No. I know some are, but I don't know if all are, to be honest with you. And I know, yeah, there are some board members on different places that are definitely not compensated. So I don't know how that works. You know, and then even their compensation, some that I know are compensated, it's $1,500. So if you have a meeting twice a month for a year, and you're getting, that doesn't even pay for your gas. And the mayor might get $5,000. And that's not compensated. So therefore, there's the idea
minimal
of saying you're compensated, but really, I mean, if you're getting $100,000, that's one thing. But to say you're compensated with a $5,000 check a year to be the governor, the mayor of a village, and the amount of phone calls and everything else you're getting, that's
minimal.
A shame. That's
it's
not
minimal.
A compensation.
Yeah.
That's coffee money. Now we have, I don't know what we're doing here.
No, it's fine with me.
No, I know. I'm just saying,
works out.
We got 8 minutes.
That works out. Last time I was here, I got to be co-host and a guest.
Right.
And
so we're trying to do it over again. I didn't know when Christina said it. I had this. My information was in my car already, so I had no idea who was the co-host, and I forgot. So that's why I said if Anne is good, that's, you know.
And it's sort of like she has ESP, Christina, in that I spoke about noise and how it affects your hearing to a very large extent during my guest visit here
right. Last
time. And then I get home and I find there's an article in one of my professional journals on chemicals and noise exposure. Did you know that ototoxicants, which are chemicals, can affect your hearing?
Oh, absolutely. I stay away from ototoxicants all the time.
Okay, John. But
what are they, first of all?
Okay, no problem. This is according to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health.
Okay.
Ototoxic substances have an effect with noise exposure on hearing loss, and some of them, which are chemicals, may exacerbate noise-induced hearing loss, even though the noise level may be acceptable.
Wow.
So I sort of thought, gee, we spoke about noise in particular, but we never ever thought about chemicals that may be in the environment and the professions which it may affect more so than others. So since I think we have a pretty large working population that listens to our program, it may be of just further discussion to bring up the fact that millions of workers are exposed to noise in the workplace every day, and when uncontrolled noise exposure, which may cause permanent hearing loss, is combined with certain chemicals, which they call ototoxicants, it can cause not only hearing loss, but problems with your balance. And I don't have to tell you how many times you've brought up that subject of balance.
Oh, absolutely.
Here. So that's an important element that if you're...
That's interesting, because isn't that also, and I'm vertigo? Isn't vertigo something?
Vertigo is part of also
the
inner
right,
ear,
right,
the
okay.
system, and so on. Yes, and then there's something called tinnitus, where you get ringing in the ears as well. But also, sometimes you hear a sound, and it's not really there, but it's within your hearing. I don't know if you've ever...
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Not all the time. All of a sudden, you're hearing a buzz or a something.
Yes.
And it's like... Okay.
Right, and it's tinnitus. But the risk of hearing loss is increased when workers are exposed to chemicals while working around elevated noise levels. And it's good to know this, because if you go for an audiometric examination, those examinations don't necessarily tell you what the cause of the problem is. And that's important when they do an analysis of hearing, that you are aware that perhaps you've had a profession or an occupation which exposed you to some of it. So what would that be? That would include printing, painting, construction, firefighting, weapon firing, pesticide spraying, and many manufacturing industries, which include fabricated metal, machinery, petroleum, paper, chemical, paint, and furniture, transportation equipment, electrical equipment, and others.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting, because you would assume, like, I'm in the process, I was telling both you guys, or ladies, earlier, of painting certain rooms in my house. And Anna said, "Oh, the only thing got to be is the smell." I mean, it does. The other night, my wife was like, "The smell." So you're opening all the windows. So now there is a sensitivity that something may be weakened within your head, your sinuses, your eardrums, or something. So now, if you're having a loud noise to boot, it almost makes sense. You're in a weakened state, so it could hurt more. It makes sense, actually. Nobody thinks of things like this, but conceptually, I can see it.
The painter himself
is
got a problem. The person that's coming in to exterminate your abode is also at higher risk. If you happen to like guns and you go out to a gun range, they have suppressors on the guns. But it's very important that you wear the ear gear on. As far
when
as
I came in here today, the fella's cutting the grass and he has ear muffs on. Because, you know, it's the tractor type thing. We're at LIU Post, so he's going to be driving around for the afternoon. And there's noise coming from that machine.
And, you know, it's interesting, as far as the chemicals are concerned, you can ingest it So that means basically you're eating it to some degree.
Right.
It can go through the pores in your skin, so you need to have special coverings on if you're going to be around that stuff.
Right, right.
And of course, you can breathe it, and it goes right into the lungs and so on.
Right.
So it's really, really important to be aware of your environment, your employer, or the person who may be able to control things also needs to check on safety features and other things, and also try to keep a handle and have signs that you are dealing with chemicals that can cause damage to you.
You know, my office, actually we're almost out of time, but it was going to be a quick one. My office has windows that actually open, which is very unusual because most office buildings, all you're getting is the ventilation that's going through the system. And if some chemicals enter into something, you're breathing them for the day. You can't get them out. At least my office now, I can open a window and it's fine. Whether it's hot air, it's still a breeze, and you put a fan going, you move things around.
You know, in the very brief amount of time that we have left, one of the things that I'm just going to mention is healthy lifestyles in general are well worth their weight in gold. I had some information on Alzheimer's disease and dementia with regards to heart healthy living, and they seem to find some of the literature that if you are following, you know, the heart healthy kinds of programs of eating the greens more so than other things and trying to exercise and stay trim and whatever, they find it's good for the brain as well.
Right, right, right.
So that I think is important to keep in mind without going into depth here on it, is that our lifestyles and the way we work and the environments are so important to keeping us in the mainstream and in the flow so that, you know, we can try to live the fullest life that we can.
Right. And not just be alive, live the life. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.
WCWP Brookville, from the North Shore of Nassau, 88.1 FM and beyond, WCWP.org. The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and you. We're going to go right into old-time radio. This week's program is Damon Runyon Theater, The Lemon Drop Kid, originally aired January 23rd, 1949.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master of storytellers, Damon Runyon. And this one, The Lemon Drop Kid. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. The other day, I run into Regret, the horse player. And he tells me that he runs into the Lemon Drop Kid. And the kid sends regards to me. It is a long time since I see the kid. Maybe a year. It is that long since the night in Mindy's when... take you back a matter of 4 or 5 years to an August afternoon and the racetrack at Saratoga, which is a spot in New York State very pleasant to behold, and also to a young guy by the name of Lemon Drop Kid, who is called the Lemon Drop Kid because he always has a little sack of lemon drops in the side pocket of his coat and is always munching at same. Now, the Lemon Drop Kid's business is telling a tale, which means he will spot somebody at the racetrack and give them a tip, for which he expects to be cut in on the lettuce when it is gathered. On this day, the kid and I are standing at the rail. The kid is looking gloomy. Finally, he turns to me and says as follows.
Broadway, have you ever been broke?
Oh, at times, the condition with me is somewhat of a chronic disease.
It is with me now.
You?
I have no place to live.
But you are living at that boarding house, are you not?
I am not. The landlady made derogatory remarks about my lack of funds. Got so I could not enjoy my meals, especially since they were very bad meals to start with.
Then what are you doing here at the racetrack?
I thought maybe I could tell a tale and pick up some scratch in that manner.
You mean you have a horse that looks good?
No, but I... Broadway.
Yeah?
Hey, look, there he comes again.
There who comes again where?
See an old man in the wheelchair?
Sure.
Well, every day he comes here. He's always pushed up where he can see the race.
You know who that is, kid?
I do not.
Rarest P. Grigsby.
The name is familiar.
It should be. Rarest P. Grigsby has more potatoes than Idaho. And with these potatoes, he is closer than the next second.
How do you like that? Here I am, broke. There he is with more dough than he knows what to do with. And what fun does he have?
It seems to me that a few evenings at home, counting a few dollars at a time, is a more than somewhat entertaining pastime.
Nah, look how sour he looks.
Well, being tied to that chair is no fun.
I guess so. I feel sorry for him.
Sure.
Tell you what, let's go over and talk to him.
Talk to Rarest P. Grigsby? Kid, you are more than somewhat silly.
Well, come on, let's see. He looks lumps.
Okay, okay. But do not say I do not warn you.
Besides, maybe I can tell him a tale.
Oh, he never bets.
Why does he come here?
Just to see the horses.
Okay, watch me cheer him up. Hiya, Buster.
Huh? Were you addressing me, young man?
Sure. Say, you got gout?
Go away.
Nice day, huh? What?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, why not?
Because I don't wish to talk. Now go away before I have my man call the police.
I do something wrong?
Will you please go?
Why are you in that wheelchair?
Arthritis. Now go away.
Arthritis? Say, I had that once. No more, though.
Huh? You had it?
Sure. Know what cured it?
It can't cure mine.
Well, you never tried.
Young man, I spent thousands on doctors, and I've offered $5,000 to anyone who will cure me.
Okay, so look at you. Ever try this stuff?
Yeah. What is it?
Medicine I took.
Ah.
Here, try one.
Right. What is it?
Look, if you're afraid, I'll eat one first. Three? Can't hurt. Might do you some good.
Well, let me have it.
There you are.
Well, it tastes like lemon drops.
Sure, I have to disguise the taste of the medicine. Well, what's so funny?
You are.
Maybe. By the way, give you something good in the fifth.
I never bet.
Ever try?
No.
Well, why not this time? You can't lose. I got it straight
from the horse's mouth.
No, I can't reveal the source of my information.
You're an engaging young rapscallion. What's the name of this horse?
Watch number two.
Number two, eh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I know what you want. Here, take this $100. Bet it on the horse.
Sure. So long, Buster.
And I am flabbergasted because I know the kid does not know what horses are running in the field. But the kid just smiles and walks away from me. He is gone maybe 10 minutes. Then he comes back, and he is smiling more than somewhat as he says as follows.
Hey, Broadway, I found out that horse number two is an old walrus by the name of Sunshine. And he could not win even against a field of mud turtles.
And you are going to bet that C-note on him?
No.
But
Sunshine
you...
will lose. Mr. Grigsby will not miss the C-note. He has many, many more. Besides, I made him laugh. I figure he owes me something for that. Now, come on. We'll watch the race. And maybe in the sixth, we'll put down a bet.
Oh, there's post call.
There's Sunshine coming out of the paddock. Broadway, he is a sorry-looking walrus.
Nevertheless, I see walruses do funny things.
Don't borrow trouble.
I have plenty without dipping into the bag for more.
Sunshine will lose.
But Sunshine wins. Probably because he is running against a field of mud turtles that are not in shape. And the price is 20 to 1, which means Rarest P. Grigsby wins 2,000. Now, at this point, it seems the Lemon Drop Kid should be hard to catch. But he does not run away. He is funny that way, because he figures Mr. Grigsby should be told why the tip does not stand up. So I stand back when the kid says to him,
Well, what do you say?
Say. That's the most fun I've had in years. I'll give you a liberal reward, young man.
That's generous of you, Mr. Grigsby.
Well, where's the money?
Money? What money?
Why, the money I won.
Well, Mr. Grigsby, why are you under the impression that you won?
Huh? What did you say?
You did not win. We lost on that race.
We what? Well, young man, you... Horse number 2 won that race.
Sure, horse number 2 won. It is a matter of history now.
Then where is the money?
Mr. Grigsby, I think you misunderstood me. I meant that horse number 2 was the horse to watch against ours. Remember? I said watch number 2.
You crook! You young thief! You swindler! Police! Detectives! Police! Help!
Now, take it easy, Mr. Grigsby. Your condition...
Confound my condition! I'll throttle you with my own hands. I'll tear you in half. Why, you thief! You crook!
Goodbye, Mr. Grigsby. It's been very nice knowing
you. You come back here! Get him! Stop him! I'll have you hunted down and found if it takes every remaining day of my life!
Well, that is that. The Lemon Drop Kid takes off with every gendarme and detective in the track at his heels. But he's a very fast runner. He leaves the track under a good head of steam and does not stop until there are several miles between him and the nearest competitor. He stops only when he comes to a little town named Kibbsville. Now, the rest of the story I do not see in person, but I hear it later from the kid. And it goes as follows.
Will that be all, sir?
Yes, thanks. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
Say, I wonder if you could give me a drink of water.
Oh, you scared me. Didn't see you come up.
Sorry, but I'm kind of dry.
You been running?
Yeah. I was entered in the last race and lost direction.
You want some ice water?
Any kind. Thanks.
Well, why don't you sit down? I'll bring it to you. Here, sit on this stool in the shade.
Oh, thanks. It's your gas station?
It's my father's. I take care of it. Here you are.
Oh, thanks.
Uh-uh. Drink it slower. That's better.
Yeah.
Why were you running?
Exercise. Do it all the time.
Were you running away from something?
Nah. So you got change for $100 bill?
For $100? No.
Business good here?
Sometimes. Not much traffic comes down here.
Hmm. You say, you mind this place all by yourself?
Well, my father helps.
Well, where is he?
He's in the house. All I have to do is call for him.
You scared of me? Well, don't worry. I'm not a stick-up man.
I didn't say you were. You don't look like one.
No? What do I look like?
Like a nice young man.
Nice young man, huh?
Yes, why?
Oh, nothing. Well, okay, thanks for the water. I'll be on my way.
You're welcome. Oh, were you at Saratoga?
Why?
I was just wondering what the girls there were wearing. You know, their hats, dresses, suits.
Get out much, do you?
Oh, yes, sometimes.
Sure.
Was it pretty there?
Oh, yeah. Lots of dolls.
Dolls?
Dames, girls.
Were they pretty?
Pretty? Yeah. Yeah, I guess they were.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Maybe because I never seen a doll. Girl like you before.
Well, the upshot of the matter is that the Lemon Drop Kid falls for this doll, who is named Alicia Deering. He does not stay one day or 2 days or even three, but more than a week passes, and he is still hanging around the town. And maybe it is a good thing because the gendarmes are still nosing around for him, but they do not think to look in Kibbsville. Then one night, he is sitting with Alicia, and the scene is as follows.
What are you thinking about?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe about all this?
Oh. I heard something in town today.
So?